Does the difficulty in getting full compensation go up as the amount goes up? For example, the last 20% of a settlement is harder than the first 70%. What changes as the amount goes up? That's a great question. So that's it. There's a lot that goes into that. So that's really true. So I will have cases where someone had another lawyer and they come to me and they say, "Hey, they got me a $10,000 offer in the case." And I'm gonna be like, "Well, the case is worth 100 grand, so thank God they got you 10 grand. That's the easy money to get, right?" Yeah, it's easy to get the first 20%, 70% of the settlement, 50%. I mean, how do you settle a case for $1 million? You start with a $2 million case. It's a joke, right? But it's so, yeah, I mean, there's a tension between a quick settlement and a high or a full settlement. So we try to settle and resolve cases quickly. But at the same time, if the insurance company knows we're chomping at the bit to settle the case, they're not going to give us the best number. I find on the cases that are worth it in terms of the value of the worth it, because if someone has a lower level case, they don't want to litigate it for 3 years and then have to settle it. What a waste of time and effort. But if someone has a very substantial case, they do, because they want, this is their one and only chance to recover for this. If they sign the release, they're never recovering any other money and they have significant damages from that. So you want them to be, and that's my job, is to put as much money in their pocket as I can when it comes down to it. That's my job. So, and there's a lot that goes with it, but that's it. So you definitely, so yeah, so you, it's a little bit easier. It's easier to get the first 50%, 70%, but getting that last 10 or 20% to get the full value of the case is where that's the hardest thing. And so how do you do that? Well, what you do is you file suit, you litigate, you take depositions. I find myself taking a lot of depositions. I have for years. I'm always taking video depositions. I have this little video kit. I video all my own depositions. Now I do them on Zoom and things like this. But I videotape my depositions. I sync them with the transcript, and I use them for mediations and other ways. I play them at trials. So we take a lot of doctors' depositions for treatment, doctors' depositions in med mal cases, the defendants. We videotape the depositions. We get ready. We go and we ask for trial dates. We move cases towards trial dates. Many times, cases resolve at a good value because the other side knows that we were going to try this case. We know how to, and we're going to go in and get a good result. And I was just joking with someone in my conference room. We have all the plaques and articles on the walls to show it. And we brag about ourselves somewhat. It's not a humble brag. I mean, we do brag on our website. We have all these results and this kind of stuff because we want to have that transparency. We need to tell people what we do and that we're good at it, and not from a braggadocious point of view, because it's hard to get information. I always say, I have this in a chapter in one of my books here on the website, is how do you choose a lawyer? You kind of know how to choose a car or a car dealer, or you want to get a contractor for your house, or you're trying, there's things we choose in life, right? Doctors or who are, anyway. How do you choose a lawyer? No, they don't train you for that. No one knows that. No one. I'm getting these questions now, and I get these all the time. How do you know who a good lawyer is? Because everybody says they're great. How do you back it up? Who's going to back up the what they say? Or is it all show, or do they back it up? All hat, no cowboy, or so whatever the Texas phrase is. So how do you know who backs it up? It's hard to know. And part of it goes into that is who gets that last 10 or 20% in terms of the amount of the settlement. So you go to trial, I take a lot of video doctor's depots getting right before trial. And to finish this thought is when they know you're ready to go to trial and you have everything teed up, that's when they pay you that good, significant amount of money. I can't tell you how many times, and I say, "Listen, if I wasn't doing all this stuff, they wouldn't pay me." Is it it's so it's kind of a hop it's kind of a catch 22. We do all this stuff to get ready for trial, but if you're ready for trial, they're gonna see the whites of your eyes, and they're gonna cave, and they're gonna settle it. And and that's a dialogue that I know I'm going on a little bit on this, but that's a dialogue that I have with my clients. So I like to say, by the time my clients settle these cases, they're educated. They know they're a educated consumer to make the decision about whether to settle the case. So that's good. So that's my hope, is that by the time we're there to settle it, they really know the numbers, they understand what juries do and that kind of stuff, and that they're ready to make a informed decision on settling the case, because they got to sign the release and take the money, which is tax-free, by the way. Personal injury cases, we talked about personal injuries and emotional distress earlier. Personal injury cases are not taxable events. You don't even put them on your, you don't even have to disclose them on your tax return. It's one of the few ways that Uncle Sam or the government ain't in your pocket anymore. Sales tax, property tax, income tax, real estate tax, fees, etc. Not in personal injury cases.